us and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal. It's just incredible.
So this year for us, the focus is wholly Netball World Cup. We really want to make sure our Scots take to court. It's the best training environment. It's the best preparation platform for them.
It was a privilege and a real honour to line up alongside the Celtic Dragons and the Team Wales Welsh Netball International side, and I'll be looking forward to lining up alongside many of the same teammates again next season.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.
It's a Netball Show with Fibre 10, an extra episode as we reflect on Sharni Layton's time here for that Fast Five tournament earlier in the year. Between you and I, there was so much that we talked about at the time. It's almost like one of those lost tape things. So finally, with it being Christmas and the New Year, time we sat down and reflected and shared it. For the first time then, on the podcast, he's more of Sharni and I speaking at the time it was confirmed she was going to be part of the squad. And what I want you to do is imagine the scene. It's October. Close your eyes. Slightly warmer than it is now. And she's just finished a session downstairs with the Storm Girls at Surrey Sports Park. Diamond 155, Sharni Layton. And to be honest, we were due to speak 5 minutes ago, but you sent Mickey up to get you some Starbucks, so fair play.
Yes, I did indeed. No, we just finished our training session, and I've only just met the Surrey Storm girls. So I was actually just down on the netball court having a good yarn to them, and I've met Ziggy and Shardine from South Africa, and we were sharing all of our international stories with the Surrey Storm girls, and it's just such a really beautiful environment to be in, to be honest.
I've got a question from Ziggy a bit later on, so
of course you do, the troublemaker.
We'll talk about how ace you are in a minute, but the important question first, what were the movies on the plane coming over? Home Alone and the Flintstones?
No, not Home Alone. My boyfriend doesn't really like chick flicks, and so the first one I watched was The Greatest Showman, which I just thought was awesome because I love Hugh Jackman and love a good musical. And then I also watched I Feel Pretty, which is what's her name? Amy, I don't know her last name, but she's the comedian and she's so funny. But it's also just such like a really good message for all the young women out there as well, with a bit of good humour.
How was yesterday? You went in the sky and unbeknown to you, you actually met Sasha from the podcast as well.
Yeah, I know. It was awesome. I had such a fun day. I do a lot of media and stuff and back in Australia, but I was just blown away when I walked into Sky Sports. Like, it's honestly quadruple the size of anything that we've got down there in Oz. And I just loved how humble everyone was, all the readers, all the journos and everyone. Like, there were no egos. Everyone was beautiful. And it was just a really, really fun-filled day. And the fact that I got to go on the London Eye, they just spoiled me rotten. It was awesome.
I can reel off a massive list of everything you've ever achieved in the game if you want.
That's completely up to
you. Are you happy with it?
I'm very happy with what I've done in the game of netball, and I've been very fortunate to be been on the journey that I've been on, I guess. And I guess that's why I found it okay to be able to move on, because I'm so grateful for all the things I've done.
Tell me a bit about growing up. Were you always full of energy as a youngster, and was it on the TV much at home?
Netball wasn't, no, but a lot of sport was. I always watched football and cricket with my dad, and I guess, like, I used to actually, believe it or not, I was really shy as a young kid, but I did have a lot of energy. I did a lot of sport. Like, when I was growing up, I did life-saving, which is, like, kind of like Ironman stuff. And then I also did cricket, netball, horse riding, basketball, and, you know, let alone school and playing sports at lunchtime. And, you know, I pretty much had something on every morning and every night from the age of 7 to the age of pretty much now. So for me, my confidence as a kid probably didn't come until a little bit later on, maybe 13, 14. But I have always had a lot of energy, and I think just playing a lot of sport and being fit probably always just gave me a lot of energy. But I started it so young, I don't know anything different.
2004, you began at the Kestrels, didn't you? And shortly afterwards, you got that scholarship to the Australian Institute of Sport.
What, yep, about in 2007 I went up there.
Some of your memories there? Who else was alongside you?
So that first year was awesome. I had Laura Geitz, was in there with me as well. Josie Jans, who I know has played over here in the UK.
Yeah.
Laura Sherian, who just won a few championships with Sunshine Coast Lightning. A few other Melbourne girls, but I'm just thinking of some other names, Janelle Lawson, Leah Shored. But yeah, they were really great days and just days that I learnt, you know, so much off so many people. Simone McInnes, who's now the Vixens coach, was my coach back then, and it was just a really great time in my life where I had the opportunity to, you know, this is before netball was professional in Australia, we had the opportunity to train twice a day as a kid, which was really critical in my development.
Magpies obviously had a big, massive statement of intent back in 2017 when they had signing after signing. You were eliminated against Giants, but what did you make of that season?
I was the Magpies. It was just a really tough season. I think, you know, we had a lot of girls come to a brand new club and tried to start a new culture, and we just didn't gel, unfortunately. Or we didn't gel early enough. I think probably about halfway through the season, we clicked and started playing well, but we just didn't pull through in those tough games. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we were up by 6 in that game with 5 minutes to go, and we lost it ourselves. And so that unfortunately continued on into the following season in 2018 as well. And it's just hard. It's not through lack of effort or anything like that. It's just, it was just a really tough season, which I think everyone goes through at some point in time. And it definitely taught me a lot about myself as a person. So it's everything happens for a reason.
You've won the world titles, the Com Games gold obviously as well. It doesn't come any better than representing your country. So those memories will be with you forever. Any standout? That gold maybe?
I don't know. I think I've been asked this question a lot, but I think my whole career has been a bit of a standout. I've been very fortunate in that regard. And every opportunity I've had, whether it's been a Com Games, a Worlds or an international test, it's just been such a privilege to wear the green and gold and to stand on the transverse line. So, you know, I can't point anyone out. They were all phenomenal times for me.
I had the opportunity to jump on board with Viper 10, and it really drew to me, it being born here in Bournemouth, and that's where my dad's from. And you know what? The people are pretty cool, so I get along with them really well, so it was easy fit. I saw the kits, and from the get-go, I absolutely loved them. They were fun, a little bit flirty, and just different. So, yeah, it was cool, and they're really comfortable.
We watch you take to the court. You throw everything into it, and you're a winner in every element of your game, whether or not that's training or obviously on court. So that's really endearing to the fans.
Oh, that's really, really nice to hear. I guess that's just that's what my motto has always been. I haven't always been the most skillful player, but I've always had the right attitude to get me there. And, you know, it took me a little while to get there in netball, but it was my attitude that, yeah, got me there in the end. So that was something that I definitely didn't want to lose as my career went on.
July was a funny time for the Diamonds, wasn't it? There was like 4 players in just over a week with everybody announcing their retirement. But in some way, were you confident that Lisa had the players and those players were ready to make that step up?
I don't know if anyone's ever ready to make that step up, but like you always have to be when you get picked in the Diamonds. And something that we prided ourselves on in the Diamonds is that we were a strong squad, not only of a team of 12, but of a squad of 20. And anyone could come in and out at any point in time. And Lisa's done a really great job of putting that up, especially over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years that she's now been at the helm. So for us, you know, it probably doesn't look like that from the outside, but we know from the inside that's the culture that we've had and the culture that we've built, that there was no hierarchy and everyone had the capability to be able to do that. And so, yeah, I think we all have absolute confidence, and I don't think we would have retired if we didn't, because we wouldn't want to leave our country without knowing that it was in capable hands.
How about the building of the whole Shani army?
I love it. Like, my Shani army is who got me through in my playing career. They're who I played for, and I wouldn't be where I am today without them. You know, they're a part of my Shani family, and I've always been a really open person. I actually find it harder to hide things, and I feel more comfortable being open and talking about things. So for me, they're just a part of my life, which has been phenomenal, and that's part of the reason that I came to the UK, so I could come say goodbye to the Shani army that supported me throughout my whole career on the other side of the world.
We don't need to go into the whole exhaustion issue. It's been mentioned loads, but I suppose one thing is just that you need to make time for yourself and talk to people about it, regardless of whether or not you play elite sport or not?
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, with athletes who push ourselves so hard, sometimes we do forget to look after ourselves. And I just think that it's really important that, you know, everyone has down days and, you know, it's not like everyone feels great all the time, but if your down days are starting to get more than the days that you're feeling good, or if sometimes you forget how to feel good, which is what happened to me, then you need to reach out and tell someone, because it's not normal and you do deserve to be happy and you can be happy. So don't stay in whatever situation or life you're in just because you think that's how it should be. You absolutely deserve to feel good as a human being. And so if you are feeling that way, it's just really important to reach out and do something about it.
What did you feel it was like playing against some of our roses last season? Helen, Jeeva, Stacey, etc.
Yeah, they're amazing. I think, you know, those girls in particular have always been really tough against. You know, I started playing against Joe Harton when I was pretty much 18, 19 years old in underage 21. So, but, you know, what I love is just seeing the development in a lot of them. Like, so, you know, Jeeva, who used to be a role model for me when I was growing up, is now continuing to kill it. Like, I think she's just an absolutely phenomenal player to still be playing as well as what she is over such a long period of time. It's really impressive. And the other girls that have stepped up over the years, like your Helen Housbys, it's awesome. And Serena Guthrie is probably one of the best players in the world. She's just a superb athlete, and I just love watching her. And, you know, you do hate playing against them because you know how hard it's going to be, but you also love that as well because you only want to play against the best. So, you know, I love Super Netball in Australia, and I love the competition that it's brought and how much it's pushed the standard of netball. And I've been very fortunate to have been a part of that competition.
Even before that Com Games gold, could you see that building of the English side and the players?
Without a doubt. I think our biggest rival over the last couple of years has definitely been England. You know, they nearly beat us in the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, and I don't know if you remember, in the round games, and, you know, we only ended up winning by one. They nearly really rocked us. So England being strong isn't like an overnight success. They've been really strong, and I think especially since 2014 they've been nipping at our heels, and it was only a matter of time before they got up over us, and that just happened to be in January this year. And also in 2013 they won the series 3-0 to us over here as well, so it goes before that as well. So England have been really strong for a long amount of time now. It's just they missed out, you know, just missed out in the last Com Games and the last Worlds before obviously Gold Coast.
How about Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and Ireland? Or have you not maybe seen their games as much?
Yeah, no, definitely. We don't get to see their games as much, unfortunately. But whenever there's a game coming up against them, that's when you do your homework. So generally coming up to a Worlds or a Com Games or whatever it might be. But I did have the opportunity to see Northern Ireland and Wales when I was in Tasmania earlier this year. And so, you know, the standard of play is definitely getting up, but you know, it's just the fact that in our countries, or like in Australia especially, now that we're professional, we just have the opportunity to train so much more. So the girls in those countries just don't have the opportunity to train professionally, so it's hard to keep up, but their standards definitely continues to get better.
Oh, then was the Com Games a fluke?
No, absolutely not. England have been nipping at our heels since 2013. So they're definitely being the hot runner for Worlds in 2019 next year. And it's going to be really hard for the Aussies to get on top of them. But I know they'll be doing their homework extremely hard.
That to me is just one of many interviews that I've enjoyed doing this year. There are far too many to mention. Sasha with the England team in the Gold Coast is up there. Zara in George Fisher's back garden. Alex from the Mintridge Foundation. And it's not just the players, it's people involved with the game at all levels that truly make it special. So, big thank you to Netball Scotland, Netball Northern Ireland, Welsh Netball and England Netball for your support as well over the last year, and Viper 10 who've been there from the start. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait for the 2019 Super League.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal. It's just incredible.
So this year for us, the focus is wholly Netball World Cup. We really want to make sure our Scots take to court. It's the best training environment. It's the best preparation platform for them.
It was a privilege and a real honour to line up alongside the Celtic Dragons and the Team Wales Welsh Netball International side, and I'll be looking forward to lining up alongside many of the same teammates again next season.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.